Well, we are always grateful for our piano player, and we're grateful for extra musicians when they're visiting in the area. And so, Trevor and Curtis, thank you. It's a blessing having you here. May the Lord continue to bless you. And we started our new Sunday school classes today, and we the Book of Exodus, meeting in the fireside room, and the book of the attributes of God, meeting in the library. So we're looking forward to the next few months going through these studies. In the attributes of God today, we were studying the sovereignty of God. And of course, God is sovereign over all things, whether we like it or not. And oftentimes, we don't. But even though God is sovereign, He also ordains means, and one of the means that we do is to seek Him in prayer. And so we've been going through this prayer, and so I'd like to call your attention this morning again to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, and it says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." We began looking at this prayer last Sunday morning. We didn't get too far. We saw the reason for the prayer, that he had heard about the Colossians. Epaphras had come and shared a message about what was going on and how the mission work was carrying on there in Colossae. Paul had never been there. But he heard about all these good things about them that we read in verses 3 through 8. And so he wanted to pray for them. And he says, "Not only do we pray for you, since we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." And so we talked about how we are not to be ceasing in our praying. We're to be continually praying. We're never to give up in our praying. And sometimes that includes just simply waiting upon God, which we all love to do, because none of us are in a hurry. Yeah, if only God would work yesterday, right? Sometimes that's the way we're feeling, especially when we're praying for health. But, you know, God's timing is perfect. God is sovereign over all these things. He's working everything according to the counsel of His will. And as you look back later, you say, "Praise be to God, He did it His way and not my way." So that's what we are excited about. But today we come to the specific request and the result that He desires to see in their lives. And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's praying for the believers, and he's making requests. He's asking. He's not demanding. By the way, don't make demands of God. Only fools make demands of God. Just ask God. God says, "Ask. It shall be given to you." But he does say, "Ask and keep on asking." That's the continual. And what's the content of this request? "I'm asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." That's the request. And that's how we ought to be praying for one another. This is a good way to pray for other Christians. you pray and you ask God, oh, may this person be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wants us to be filled with something. To be filled with is to have some kind of something happening to us. Like in Ephesians 5:18, where it says to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, to be under His control. Or it says in Ephesians 1:23 and 3:19, to be filled with God Himself. Or in Romans 15:13, to be filled with joy and peace. Or 2 Corinthians 7:4, to be filled with comfort. Or Philippians 1:11, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. To be filled. Asking that you may be filled. By the way, this is a passive. This isn't something that you're going to be able to accomplish by yourself. This is something that God's going to work in your life, but that's why you pray for one another. You pray that God will do that in their lives. That they might be filled here with first the knowledge of God's will. This word knowledge is an expanded word for knowledge, meaning a full, complete, deep knowledge of God. And it's knowing all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I think that means then that what he's really praying is that we will really know Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's the Christian life. Knowing Christ, knowing God. It's the knowledge of His will. We read a lot about that in Ephesians chapter 1. And one writer put it this way. He says, thus it seems that Paul's intent here is that the Colossians would be filled with a deep, full, rich understanding of the grace of God that is theirs in Jesus Christ. It's a grace that stretches from eternity past, when God set His will and predestined them to adoption as sons, all the way through the present and into the future, where they will spend eternity discovering the wonders of their inheritance in Christ as the sons of God. It encompasses all of that. Oh, that we might know the knowledge of His will and be filled with it in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, this wisdom is found in Christ and only in Christ. In the Old Testament, wisdom was considered the practical application of the knowledge of God's will to the demands of our earthly life. It began with the fear of the Lord, and it continued and was full of the fear of the Lord. You all remember that, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. By the way, when it uses the word beginning back there, there's two different words for beginning. One means the starting point, and one means the chief ingredient. Okay? So it's the starting point, and it's what it's consisting of. It's all about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in the fear of God. That's wisdom. And it's a spiritual wisdom. It's not just a human wisdom. We're not trying to just be worldly wise. We're not trying to be worldly foolish. We're trying to have common sense, which we will have if we have spiritual wisdom and we walk in Christ. So the nature of this wisdom is spiritual, not natural. And the word spiritual really modifies both wisdom and knowledge. Some translation says spiritual wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and some say wisdom and spiritual understanding. Really, the spiritual is related to both of them, and so is the word all. It's all spiritual wisdom, it's all spiritual knowledge that we're to have. It's the fullest, complete measure of both. And the understanding is putting it all together. Drawing the right conclusions, seeing the right relationships, full understanding. And so this is the request. And this is what we are to pray for one another. Pray that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, why do we pray that? What's the purpose of that? Well, that leads us to the next thing, which is the desired result. And that's just a very simple statement here. It says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Okay? What does that mean? Let me put it simple to you. Act like a Christian. That's it. Act like a Christian. Are you a Christian? Do you act like one? Well, how should a Christian act? Well, look at the life of Christ. How are you acting? It's how are you responding in two different ways we're going to see in a few moments. To the situations God's bringing in your life and the people God brings into your life. Okay? If only I didn't have to deal with situations and people, I could be a great Christian. Right? Okay, but the problem is, God wants us to be a great Christian in accepting situations and responding right to people. That's what it's all about. We're going to see that in just a moment here. But it's a worthy walk. It's a manner worthy of the Lord. This is the desired outcome, the purpose of this filling. And of course, walk is a figurative term, meaning how you live your daily life. It's to be a suitable manner. It's a manner according to the Lord. This word worthy is sometimes used about a scale where you have something on one side and you're trying to even it out on the other side. Okay? Well, on the one side, we have our standard, which is the life of Christ. And we're supposed to be trying to measure up. Wow. Okay, we need prayer. We need prayer. Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Okay? We need it. Unless, of course, you're already perfect. I don't see anybody dead here. That's when you become perfect. It's walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, following the standard that He has set for us. And it adds here this short little phrase, fully pleasing to Him. Another version says, unto all pleasing, or another, to please Him in all respects or every way. Now, the word pleasing can be used in a negative way. It can be used as a people pleaser. God doesn't want us to be people pleasers in a certain way. I'm not saying you're to try not to be people pleasing, okay? You should be pleasant, all right? You don't go out of your way to be obnoxious to people. But you're not acting in a way that you're always trying to get people to like you rather than following God. All right? Because they hate God, they're going to hate you at times too. And so you're not to be this people pleaser in that sense. But here it's used in a positive way. We are to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, how can you please the Lord? Well, Hebrews 11:6 gives us a beginning point. It says, first, we must believe that God exists and that He's a rewarder of those who please Him by walking by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
Which, of course, is interesting because that's a gift from God. In Romans 8, it says that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And that's the mind that is pleasing to God. Is your mind set on the things of the Spirit of God? And is it happening fully? Fully, completely, pleasing Him. Well, what pleases God? Well, that's what's the rest of the prayer here. And sometimes when we're studying, we need to remember our grammar. Okay? Don't you love grammar? Everybody loves English. The Apostle Paul writes these long, complicated sentences, but then he gives us a little bit of clue of how to look at it, because in this next section here, the rest of verse 10 through verse 12, he gives us four participles that are related to this idea of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. So the desired result he's praying for us is that we're living this life worthy of the Lord, that we're fully pleasing Him, and it's going to be seen in these four different ways. All right, so now these are the key things you need to be thinking about Because this is how you evaluate whether it's being answered in your life. So what's the first one? The first one there in the middle of verse 10 says, bearing fruit in every good work. Being fruitful. I wonder how many of you have a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit. I love squeezing oranges, having fresh squeezed orange juice every morning. Ah, what a joy it is. So several years ago, I planted two little dwarf orange trees in my little backyard, and I thought they were Valencias. I guess I can't read labels. They were both navels. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'll just get a third one and add a Valencia right behind it. And you know, today I've got these two wonderful navel orange trees with lots of navel oranges. But I must confess that last spring, the Valencia orange tree disappeared. As I uprooted it and threw it away, because it doesn't work to have one of those with two of the others. Okay? The fact of the matter is, it should have been producing fruit in the summer, but it was trying to produce it in the winter. It was trying to become a navel orange tree, and the fruit was never very good, and so we just got rid of that tree. You know what? Sometimes God is looking down on us and we're supposed to be fruitful. And he's thinking, you know what? You're not very fruitful. I think that maybe your life ought to just end. Think about that. Whoa. Am I being fruitful for God? Well, what kind of fruit am I supposed to bear? Fruit unto righteousness and holiness. The fruit of the Spirit. God working through you and accomplishing something. Here it says, being fruitful in every good work, doing good things. This is present tense. It's ongoing. Continually. Don't rest on the past. As someone said, yesterday's grace must become today's fruit. You got to bear fruit. Otherwise, you're not a fruit tree, no matter what you think. And by the way, if you're not bearing fruit, you're not a Christian, are you? Really? Think about it. Now, a word of encouragement. Fruit doesn't blossom all the time. Okay, there's seasons. So the fruit bearing is in season. Okay, you're doing work, you don't see much fruit, but eventually it comes. Okay, it develops. But you're seeking the Lord, you're desiring to be useful to Him, you're trying to do every good work. God has planned good work for you to do. As it says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works, lest anyone should boast, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so He's prepared these things, and we're just living our life as He's directing us. You say, why did I come into contact with that person today? Because God had a plan for you to have an influence upon their life. Okay? There's millions of people in the world God doesn't have a plan for you ever to come in contact with. Don't worry about that. But be thinking about the people that He did bring into your life,
right,
and how you can be an influence in their lives. This is the attestation of the reality of salvation, that God is accomplishing something through us. And over again in the New Testament, it says, get involved in doing good works. We don't have time to get into all of them today, but just a reminder to you. Then we come to the second thing here. The first thing is bearing fruit in every good work. The second participle is increasing or growing in the knowledge of God. This word here, growing or increasing, is often an agricultural term. You want to see things growing. You plant a plant, you hope it's going to grow. Unless you're me, and you're good at killing them. Okay, but we want things to grow. You as a Christian are to grow. How did the Apostle Peter end his second letter? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life is about knowing God. John 17:3. Okay? And so we are to learn to know God. Get to know Him. That's what our life is about. And so we are not only to know it, we're to increase in this knowledge of God. By the way, he thanked the Lord that they were growing back in verse 6. And so this is happening. But once again, this increasing in the knowledge of God is actually in the passive, because it's God who's the one who gives the growth. Now, we do the works, right? Just like in 1 Corinthians, where he talked about himself, and Apollos, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the growth. Okay? I can't grow anything. I can plant and I can water. Okay? If I remember. The water of the Word is a good way to water yourself, you know.
Right.
You know, be in the Word every day. Grow in the grace of the Lord by watering. But this is an increasing, again, in the full, deep knowledge of God, knowing Him. By the way, that's one of the reasons we're studying the attributes of God. That's about knowing God. I asked in the class this morning, how many of you have ever read a book on the attributes of God? And no one thought they had. Then I said, how many of you read J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God? Oh, yeah. Well, that's about the attributes of God, too, you see. The attributes of God, knowing God. Getting to know God is what eternal life is all about. By the way, this is going to go on forever. It's an exciting thing. Knowing what God is like. Praise be to God. But we're then to increase, to grow in this knowledge of God. But then there's a third one. In verse 11, he says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That's a fascinating phrase. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. This is present tense again. This is ongoing. It's passive again. This is something God's Spirit does to you. That this might be happening in your life. Strengthened with all strength. Dunamis with all dunamai. But it's according to his glorious might. And that's a different word. That's kratos. That's the possession of force or strength that affords supremacy or control. Some would translate it as perfect strength or dominion or ruling power. And it's described here as glorious. His glorious might, or the might of his glory. The might of God's glory. Now, why does the apostle want us to be strengthened with this power, to be empowered by God? Well, look at the next part here. For all endurance and patience with joy. That's why. Now, this is just such an important thought. I want you guys to catch this, okay? This is so vital right here. This is the fullness of it. If God is strengthening us, we can endure and we can be patient. What does that mean? Well, two different words here. The first word is a word, literally, it's a compound word, means to remain under. And it deals with situations. Ouch. To remain under? I want to get out from under. Okay? And God says, I want you to remain under until I accomplish all that I'm going to accomplish. God's strength is provided to help us to develop these qualities. This first one then is endurance or steadfastness, sometimes translated also as patience. It is a patient endurance which holds out long under difficulty with hope and courage. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. There's the joy again. So how can I be joyful? Well, again, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Pray for one another. Okay? Pray that you be filled with this joy, even in the midst of the enduring. The second word here, patience, could also be translated as long-suffering. This is a fruit of the Spirit. And it speaks of a long-suffering endurance in the face of indignities and injuries that come from other people. Like your brother, or your sister, or your wife, or your husband, or your co-worker, or your neighbor. Oh, I'm glad none of you have any trouble like that. It's just some other person way out there. You know, where does life begin? Right at home, okay? That's where we are to practice this, quote, long-suffering patience. What the apostle is praying for here is that we would be strengthened to be able to endure impossible situations and to suffer long with impossible people. Uh-oh, I left out a word. Let me say it again. That we are to learn endurance in the midst of apparently impossible situations. And learn to demonstrate a long-suffering love and patience with apparently impossible people. Ah, did you notice the extra word? Apparently? Because there's no impossible situation with God. And there's no impossible people with God. God is able to strengthen you with all His might and glorious power to be able to endure any situation and learn to be able to get along with any person by changing you. Okay? It begins with us. That's why we pray for one another that we will be strengthened in this, that we will learn to respond the right way. We are able to by the power of God's Spirit. Apart from the working of God in our hearts, it's not going to happen. And we're going to get discouraged. We're going to be down. And we're going to want to give up. But you know what? God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, right? Okay. He's able to do the apparently impossible. By the way, He can also do what we consider impossible. Not even apparently. But He can help us with those people as well. Now He says, for all endurance and patience. For all of it. For a completeness of it. That sounds like we're never supposed to fail. Now, here's a question. How can God expect this of me? Well, here's the answer. God says, because I'm supplying you the power. Right. I'm giving you the strength. I've given you my Spirit. That's how you can do it. It is possible. And the last word there, with joy, some take it with the endurance and patience, some add it to the giving of thanks. Either way, you should be joyful, okay? The Christian life ought to be a joyful life, even in the midst of the trials and difficulties of life, because God is, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. This is present tense. It's continuous. And the final thing, the final participle is this, giving thanks. Giving thanks to the Father. He's the one who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember the question in the Scripture? Who is sufficient for all these things? Well, that word qualified could be make sufficient. The Father who has made you sufficient, he's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Therefore, give thanks to him. It's by the grace of God, it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to do these things. But God wants us to be praying this for one another. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm afraid we don't pray this very often. We do pray, oh Lord, we pray you'll bring this person to salvation. Oh Lord, we pray you'll help this person to get healthy. But how often are we praying for the growth in grace, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, by bearing fruit in every good work, by increasing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, and at the same time giving thanks to the Father, who's the one who's the one that makes it all possible. If Paul was praying this for us, praise God. He was praying it for the Colossians. We're to pray it for one another. Are you praying it? Is your prayer life like that? Or is it, Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, bless so-and-so. Well, how? How do you want me to bless them? Okay, well, here it is. Meditate upon these verses. Think upon them. Consider that this is a way that we're going to be strengthening one another. We don't strengthen ourselves. We must be strengthened by the Spirit. And yes, we have responsibilities to be seeking the Lord ourselves, but there's this mutuality, you see. This relationship in the body of believers that we are to be uplifting and praying for one another, that we all might be strengthened and be accomplishing all that God wants us to be. May God help us. Help us to pray this way for one another. Let's bow in prayer. Father, that we might be like Jesus, Lord. That's what we want. We want to be like Jesus. We want to live like him. We want to respond the way he did. We want to have that patient endurance. We want to have that long-suffering attitude toward people. Oh my, what he had to put up with the disciples. Oh Father, forgive us for how often we fail. Instead of failing, we ought to be praying for one another. There's something about praying that's investing in the lives of others that helps us to love them more. Father, find us faithful. And as we now come and we prepare for this communion time, may the Holy Spirit guide and direct as we rejoice, as we commune together, as we acknowledge our oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. How we praise our dear Savior and Lord. It's his wonderful name we pray. Amen.